Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Amen. For a few minutes today, I want to preach to you on this subject. When is God offended? When is God offended? Praise the Lord. This is not usually a subject that we talk about much. And there's a lot of discussion from different ones who have been offended. You know, this one got offended because we preached it too strong, or that one got offended because we didn't preach it strong enough. And the music was too loud, or the music was too quiet, and the songs were too old, or maybe somebody was mad because they were too new. And the pastor didn't shake my hand, or the pastor's just too involved in my life. I tell you, it's hard to make everybody happy. And we live in a day when many are offended. Feelings are hurt so easily, and we're supposed to adjust the gospel so that nobody's toes are stepped on. And it's not popular to declare that sin is still sin. And don't talk about lifestyles that will send you to hell. In fact, don't even mention hell. Just tell everybody that, yeah, you just be a good person and you go to heaven. I tell you, people are so offended today. That's the world we live in. And comfort and enjoyment are more important than pulling a lost soul from the fiery grip of hell. Tell me something. Tell me something good. Tell me something that makes my heart happy. That's what they want us to preach. Preach something that's positive so we can leave church feeling a little bit better about ourselves. But don't preach conviction, because we really don't want to change. We just want a little touch of God's presence, and then we want to go back to our same lifestyle, our same habits, our same world, where we're in charge and we live as we please. One thing I have learned from a life of ministry is that some people are just looking for an excuse to get offended. It doesn't matter how hard someone tries to cater to them, to tiptoe around them, walking on eggshells, being so careful. It doesn't matter, because eventually they're going to find something to get offended over. Jesus gave a great word on not being offended. You see, John the Baptist had gone before him, preparing the way. He said, there's coming one after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to latch, but he's going to bring the Holy Ghost in fire. And now that Jesus was on the scene, Jesus is ministering, and he's healing the sick and raising the dead, and John the Baptist gets thrown into prison. And he hears about all the things that Jesus is doing, and so he sends two of his disciples to ask the Lord, are you really the one? Are you what we've been looking for, or do we look for another? And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And then it's almost as an afterthought, but it was really the whole point of Jesus' message to John. In verse 6, he says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, if I can paraphrase just a little here, John the Baptist is rotting away there in prison. He's not knowing how long he's going to last. And Jesus is traveling the countryside and performing great works and miracles. And so John the Baptist, he sends word. He says, "Hey, cousin, hey, remember me? Have you forgotten about me here in prison?" And Jesus, he didn't reply, "Hey, just wait on a little while longer. I'm going to come and get you out. I'm going to break you out. I'm going to deliver you." No, he said, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." You see, John the Baptist didn't make it out of prison. But there are some things that God, he knows best. And we must learn to trust in him. I believe it's time that Christians today stop being so offended. There are some things that just, they really don't matter. We're about to do some building updates, and we're excited about all that. And you know, when you think about building updates, well, there's a lot of opinions about what needs to be done. And there's some colors that are going to change, and there's going to be new flooring and different decor and all of that. And you know what? It's hard to please everybody. And what ends up, it may not be what we all prefer, and it may not be our special color or our style, but there's some things that are more important than that. Amen? Because, you know, we're going to preach the truth. That's more important. Amen. We're going to preach that you still have to be separated from the world, and that we should live free from sin and live holy lives unto the Lord. That's what's most important. And so we focus on the things that are most important. It's not always comfortable for our spirit to hear some things, but we cannot be so offended and so touchy that God can't move. Amen. We should be worried about what is going to keep us saved. Amen. We should be thankful for God sending us a word that keeps us from the danger of sin. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. Amen. It's not a joint rulership where we all get together and vote and God agrees with what our flesh wants to do. Oh no, the kingdom of God is exactly that. It's the kingdom of God. It's God's kingdom, and what the king says goes. And if we're going to be in the kingdom of God, then we have to stop being so concerned with what offends us. And instead, I believe that we need to be concerned with what is pleasing to the king. Because God does get offended. Many times throughout Scripture, we see the anger of God. How many times was he angry with the children of Israel for serving other gods? After he had delivered them from Egypt and had brought them to the promised land, after he had given them houses that they didn't build and vineyards they didn't plant and wells they didn't have to dig, and then they chose to go and worship idols that were made with the hands of men instead of the Almighty and living God. How many times was God angry with them for their sin and disobedience? At one point, he was so angry that he threatened to wipe them out completely. Exodus 32:9 tells us, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." You see, God hates sin. God hates wickedness. It makes him angry. Psalm 7:11 tells us that God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. See, the thing about God, he does get angry, and he hates sin. He hates disobedience, but he also loves the sinner. That's the thing about God. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And even though his anger, and through that anger at someone who is committing sin, and that sin, he's angry about that, but he's still reaching for the soul of that person. I want to tell you, if you are living a life of sin today, if you are in rebellion against God, if you have not submitted your life to the will of God, yes, God is not happy about that, and sin makes him angry. But before you write yourself off today, you need to realize that God's love is still reaching for you. He loves you. He cares for you. There is hope. You may not have the strength to stop all of those bad habits and things of sin on your own, but if you will pray to God and if you will ask him to forgive you and to set you free from your sin, I tell you, God will hear your prayer and he will meet you there in that place of your need, and he will give you strength because he wants to turn your life around. Amen. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Hallelujah. Today, we're talking about when God gets offended. And I believe this is something more than just his wrath. It's a little different than his anger. In our text today, we read in Jeremiah 17 and 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." And then verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Now, if we could break this down a little more today. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm. In other words, cursed be that man that trusts in his own strength, that relies on fleshly strength, on human strength, whose heart departeth from the Lord. His heart turns away from God. He'll be like a shrub out in the barren desert. Amen. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, and he places his trust in God. His confidence is not in the things of man, but it's in the Lord. And that man is going to be like a tree that is planted by the waters, with roots that reach deep into the river. And that tree is not bothered by the heat, and it's not worried about the long months of drought. And its leaves stay green, and it never fails to bear fruit. I believe that God is offended by those who trust in themselves. They trust in themselves. They rely on the arm of flesh. They trust in human ability. Their confidence comes from things like their bank account. And they think they've got it all figured out in human wisdom. They think even that God needs them to accomplish his work, and that they're in control of things, that they're so important in the kingdom of God that God can't make it without them even. I believe that offends God because it's making themselves their own God. They serve their own strength. They rely on their own wisdom. They trust in their own ability. Pride, that's what that really is. It's pride when you get down to the root of it all, and God is offended. As a pastor, I really feel that the church as a whole, not our church, of course, we're in danger of this, but I feel there's a movement in the church as a whole that we're slowly getting to the place where we think that, well, this is our church, and it should be like whatever pleases us, And we should sing the songs that we like to sing and preach the sermons that we like to hear preached and do the things that we like to do, when God is saying, hey, do you remember whose church this really is. Come on, do you remember that I gave my life for this church? I purchased it with my blood. This is my church, and you're more concerned about what your humanity is pleased with than what pleases me. I believe that offends God. Maybe that's something that God is wanting us to get during this time with all that our world is going through and with all that the church is facing through this. I tell you, it's shaking our world. It's shaking business as usual. It's shaking our status quo. It's getting us a little off balance so that we realize, well, maybe we weren't as powerful as we thought we were, not in our flesh. And maybe we really don't have everything all figured out. And we can't do this without the power of God. Amen. We get in a rut sometimes. We're going to sing three songs and have some preaching and an altar service and then go home on our merry little way. And God's saying, that offends me that you think you can do this on your own without my power and without my anointing. Hey, somebody, you need to hear this today. We know people that are addicted to things. They're addicted to alcohol and to drugs and pornography and racism and all kinds of stuff. And we don't have the power to deliver them from that. We know people who have cancer and diabetes and sickness and emotional problems. We can't heal that stuff on our own. There's anger in homes and marriages are on the rocks and kids are hurting and abused and we don't have the power to heal that in our flesh. We need to wake up and realize today we've got to have the power of God. We've got to have His anointing. We've got to have His Spirit working through us. And how many Christians today is there really not a hunger for the things of God, and there's no passion for the supernatural. There's no desire for the things of the Spirit. Where's the cry like in Psalms 42 and 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Oh God, we need you today. We need your touch. We need your blessing. We can't make it without you. We are desperate for you. We are lost without you, and our song longs for you, O God. Amen. In your time of prayer with the Lord, you need to tell the Lord things like that. God, I need you. I am desperate for your touch. I need your power. I need to feel your anointing. I need your blessing in my life. I pray there would be a stirring in our hearts right now. Oh, I pray somebody would cry out right there where you are today with your family or alone, wherever you are. I pray that you would cry out to God right now. Lord, I don't want you to be offended in me. I don't want to trust in my own strength. I don't want you to be turned off by my pride, oh God. I don't want you to be disgusted with my lukewarm state. But God, I need you. I need you. I'm desperate for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, the early church, they did not have all of the comforts that we enjoy. They didn't have beautiful buildings. They didn't have retirement accounts and 401ks. And they didn't have nice cars to ride in. They didn't have beautiful homes to relax in. They didn't have all the comforts that we enjoy today. But what they did have was Jesus. What they did have was His power. What they did have, they were full of the Holy Ghost. And they turned their world upside down. Amen. We cannot do anything in our flesh. But oh, if there would be a hunger, if there would be a cry, if there would be a passion that burns within us, God, we have got to have your power. We've got to have a move of your Spirit. We need you, oh God. We're desperate for you. When this time is over, We can't be lulled back to sleep. We can't be satisfied to go back to church as usual. But pray that something has changed in us. Pray that we are moved. Pray that we are transformed and that we are changed. Pray that a deep hunger and passion is born in us, that we never go back to being satisfied, that we never again rely on our humanity to make it, because we need the supernatural power of God. Praise the Lord. Listen to the humble declaration of the great Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Hallelujah. That's what we need. In weakness and in fear and in much trembling, we don't need fancy words, but what we do need is a demonstration of the Spirit of God. What we need is the demonstration of His power, that our faith does not stand in man's wisdom, but in the power of God. Is anybody hungry for that? Does anybody want that? Does anybody yearn and desire after that? Oh, would you cry out to God right now, "Lord, we need you in our lives like never before. God, do it in our hearts. Do it in our church. Do it in our city. Do it in this season, oh God. Let your power work through us, Lord, that we would not trust in man's wisdom, but we would trust in your power, oh God." Hallelujah. Oh, we don't want to offend God. We don't want to be cursed as the man that trusted in humanity and in the flesh. We don't want to walk in dry, barren places like that. But I want to be blessed of God. Amen. I want to be like that tree that's planted like the water, by the water, with deep roots and leaves that are always green, and a tree that's always producing fruit. In Mark chapter 11, we find Jesus entering into Jerusalem. And they received him with joy, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." The scripture tells us that he entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And if you read it, it says that when he had looked around at everything, then he and his disciples left and they went to Bethany to stay the night. Perhaps they stayed at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The next day, they make their way on the short journey back to Jerusalem, and apparently the Lord had forgotten to eat breakfast, because as they're walking, he's hungry. No, I really don't think he forgot to eat breakfast, but I think there was a greater lesson here. And as they're walking, he sees a fig tree that's a long ways off. And it's full of leaves, and so he goes to get a fig. But when he gets there, there's nothing but leaves on it. And in Mark 11, 14, "And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." And they go on into Jerusalem, and he goes into the temple and casts out the money changers, and he cleanses the temple. And Mark 11, 17 says, and he taught, saying unto them, "Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and the priests heard it, and boy, did it upset their apple cart. They were so offended that they got together trying to find a way to destroy him. But he was offended. Our Lord was offended that they would make his house a den of thieves instead of a house of prayer. Oh, God forbid that we would be in the same state, that we would make his house a den of thieves and not a house of prayer. And today I know that we can't physically come to the church to pray, and so our church is in our homes. I ask that you would make that home a house of prayer during this. They were more worried about what offended them than what offended God. Then we read in Mark 11, 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. They see the fig tree. Not only would it never again produce figs, but overnight it had dried up from the roots. Now, that was more than just the physical, but this represented something in the spiritual. The Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, had rejected the Lord, and in their pride and in their trust of human ability, they had turned a deaf ear to him. And going forward, they were to be like a tree that was dried up from the roots and no longer fit for food. Remember our text today. God is offended by those who trust in humanity. It offends God. Those who trust after the flesh, those who make themselves little gods instead of relying on the one true God. And for those who offend God, they are cursed. They walk in dry places. They walk in barren places. They're like a desert. They're dried up from the root. It's a parched place that they dwell in. But for those who trust in God, they are blessed. They are like a tree with deep roots reaching down to the water, and their leaves are always green, and more than that, they're always producing fruit. I tell you, we've become too comfortable. We've become too satisfied. We've become too dependent on our own strength, on our own resources, on our own ability. And the fact is, we don't have anything except for that which God has given us. Oh, let there be a change in our way of thinking today. Let there be a change in our hearts. Let there be a cry from deep within us that, God, I do not want to offend you by being so self-reliant, by being so assured in my own strength that I don't pray and I don't seek your will, and I don't want to offend you by thinking I've got this all down and I don't have to ask your help. I don't want to miss out on the miracles that you would do in my life because I don't seek after the supernatural. Lord, change us, because we don't want to walk in dry places, but we want to be a tree that's producing fruit. Hallelujah. I tell you, in these last days, there is spiritual fruit that God is going to produce through those who are desperate for it. There are spiritual gifts that he wants to pour out. There is a supernatural revival for those who are hungry. God forbid that we miss out on that. God forbid that we offend God because we're too wrapped up in our own humanity. But I pray there would be a hunger and a desire for the supernatural today. Oh, let it be birthed within us. Let there be a burden for it, oh God. Let there be a passion for it, oh Lord. Hallelujah. They used to call Pentecostals holy rollers because the Spirit of the Lord would come upon them and they'd get all lost in the Spirit and they'd start to roll in the floor. They used to have people that would get drunk in the Holy Ghost and they couldn't speak in English because they were so drunk on new wine. They used to have laughing fits. Anybody remember that? As the joy of the Lord came upon them and they'd laugh and they'd laugh and they'd laugh. It was the joy of the Lord. Oh, what about deaf ears being healed and blind eyes coming open and cancers falling off and people's blood being healed? Those kind of experiences are available. God has not changed. He is still able to do it, and I believe He is going to do it. But there has to be a hunger. There has to be a desire in us. During this time that has the world so shook up, the church needs to be shook up too. Come on, we need to be shaken awake. We need to come alive. We need to get serious about the things of God. Wake us up, Lord. I believe there's going to be a final great awakening to where the church becomes what we are designed to be. Oh, we don't want to be an offense to the Lord. We don't want to offend God by trusting in our own strength. But I pray there would be an awakening within us to where we look to God and we realize we've got to have His power. We've got to have His anointing. We've got to have His Spirit today. Amen, amen. In closing today, I'm going to pray with you, and then we'll go into some music and just let you begin to pray there with your family and there in your home. But I want us to pray that God, I don't want to be an offense to you. I don't want you to be offended at me. I don't want you to look at our life, Lord, and see that we're so wrapped up in humanity that we don't trust in you. God, forgive us for that, but today we trust in you. We put our faith in you. God, it does not stand in the wisdom of men, but it stands in your power, oh God. Would you join me? Would you find a place of prayer there today? Oh God, I pray that you would touch us. I pray that you would touch every heart and every mind. I pray that you would minister in every home right now. I pray that you would draw us close to you, oh God. I don't want you to be offended in us, Lord. I don't want you to look at our lives and be repulsed by the pride of our hearts. But God, we need you today. We need your power. We need your presence. I pray that you would get a hold of us here today. Change us, Lord. Make us more like you. Don't let us be comfortable in our flesh. Don't let us be satisfied in our humanity. But God, let there be a drive. Let there be a passion. Let there be a hunger in our hearts for the things of the Spirit. I want to see the supernatural, God. I want to see healings and miracles and signs and wonders. And I realize that we cannot do that in our own strength. But we need your power, oh God. Oh, would you cry out to the Lord? Would there be a desperate heart that would reach to God today? I believe God is going to do it. I believe God is going to provide an answer for you today. Thank you for it, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.